Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth, fresh off the Easter egg roll, but we're going to talk about some activities on the White House lawns and also major political developments. Scott, good to have you here.
Great to be back, Loman. Thank you.
So you were on the South Lawn for the Easter egg roll. I gather you weren't dressed as the Easter bunny.
Not the bunny this year, but, you know, it's the annual tradition of the White House to invite the public through a lottery and receiving tickets. And they have, you know, usually several sessions. I think there's five or six sessions where folks can, you know, stroll around the White House, color eggs. You can, there was some drawing. I think everybody might have seen the video of President Trump sitting down with some kids and crayons. And, you know, he interacted with the media as well and was taking questions related to what's going on over at the Pentagon with Pete Hegseth. And they also have story time, which is kind of cool for the kids. My kids got to listen to the Attorney General Pam Bondi read a story, and I know Caroline Leavitt and others read stories as well. And so, yeah, it's a pretty fun thing. I think a lot of people remember last year, you know, we had Trans Day of Visibility, and a lot changes in a year, depending on what day Easter falls on as well. But later in the week, on Wednesday, President Trump was strolling around the North Lawn, and he made a big announcement that he was going to pay out of his own pocket to place a 100-foot flagpole on the North Lawn. And, you know, some people say, well, there's, you know, an American flag on top of the White House already. Why do we need a big one on the North Lawn as well? Well, you know, most government buildings actually have flagpoles in front of their building and flags on top of their buildings as well. I think this is a kind of a cool thing, and it's especially cool because it's not going to cost the taxpayers anything. Trump's going to handle it himself.
Well, a lot of developments on the White House lawn. Meanwhile, there was another major development. Of course, we have Congress moving toward this reconciliation bill. There's been some ideas floated of raising the top marginal tax rate. It seems that that's going down in flames.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, Club for Growth put out a statement saying that it was a red line for the club in supporting the overall reconciliation package, which will include the extension and expansion of the Trump 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. And, you know, there was a rumor that was persistent, but never actually attributed to anybody directly, that the White House was interested in increasing the top rate from 37% to 40% or even higher. And, you know, this would be devastating in a lot of different ways. I think especially politically, if Republicans were behind a big tax rate increase. And the good news is that this week, Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, and President Trump came together and said, no, this is not happening. It's not on the table. We're not going to increase the top rate. And the good news now is that we can really focus on pro-growth policies that can be included in the reconciliation package and really get this economy going again. So, you know, the Club for Growth will be advocating for what's known as neutral cost recovery. It allows for the full and immediate expensing of capital expenditures, including structures. So you might remember from the 2017 law, we had a version of expensing, and unfortunately it phased out and expired, and it didn't actually provide for the certainty that businesses need in order to make long-term decisions to expand and reinvest. Instead, it was sort of like a sugar rush where there was a good bump of growth after the taxes were passed, the tax cuts were passed. However, we want to make sure that there is certainty in the code. And that's one of the big things that the Senate is working on, making sure that this round of tax cuts is permanent. And, you know, you can have permanency for some policies and expiration for others. And I think for the pro-growth, pro-business tax cuts, we need to have certainty and permanency and neutral cost recovery. The ability to write off expenses for new structures and manufacturing is a big, big goal of ours. It will help significantly when it comes to the domestic production of a lot of these things that Trump wants to reshore.
Meanwhile, we have a major political development this past week. Dick Durbin, the U.S. Senator from Illinois, announcing his retirement. Illinois, not exactly a competitive state, but serious repercussions from this will ensue. Why is that?
Well, let's remember back in 2010, there was a congressman named Mark Kirk, Republican, more of a moderate, but he won in the Tea Party wave in Illinois. And you got people that are corrupt like Rod Blagojevich. And then everybody might remember when Barack Obama became president, Blagojevich sold that seat effectively to a guy named Roland Burris. And, you know, Blagojevich said, hey, you know, I got this golden thing here. I'm not going to give it away for free. So there is corruption in Illinois. Everybody kind of understands that. And so it'll be interesting to see what an open race in Illinois with a heads up from a longtime Democrat. You know, Dick Durbin has been really the left-hand man, is what I'll call him, of Chuck Schumer's agenda. And, you know, he served as the whip. He served as, I think, the assistant majority leader to Schumer, and really been highly involved in all the decisions that Schumer and his predecessor, Harry Reid, made in the last 25 years. So it is, I think, indicative of the acknowledgement from Democrats that they need a wave of new progressive leaders to take the helm, and sort of for the old guard, the old Democrats, to move on to retirement. And there's rumors, obviously, in New York for Chuck Schumer, I think, in 2028, maybe AOC primaries him, right? You got in the House of Representatives, Hakeem Jeffries is the new speaker and the new leader for the Democrats, but Pelosi and Steny Hoyer are still kind of in the shadows with their influence. And until these folks actually leave the Capitol complex through retirement, I think that they are highly influential. So it'll be interesting to see how the power structure in the United States Senate and the Democratic caucus, how that shifts and what new voices are obviously in play to take that seat. One Democrat congresswoman that I think will probably end up getting in the race is Lauren Underwood.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Scott, tell us a little bit about the club.
We are united in the idea of economic freedom, liberty, opportunity, and you can actually visit us at clubforgrowth.org, sign up and become a member for free, and also visit us on X at Club for Growth with the number 4.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Scott, thank you for being with us.
You're welcome.